Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. We're partners in wine, crime, and time. Still, any allergy medication y'all are taking because it's hitting me again. But what's also hitting me and Sarah is our journalistic bug because we sometimes do these news true crime roundups when there's a lot of stories going on that we're like, okay, we feel like everybody wants to talk about these.
Yes.
And we have to talk about them with y'all.
Agree. The people want to know. And so we're going to give you guys what you want, of course. But also before we get into that, this is so random, but are you watching that show Jury Duty? I feel like I've heard it's good.
But everyone is talking about it and I feel like I need to freebie my life away.
I feel the same. I've heard it's really good and it just seems like very up our alley for this whole audience.
Oh, it very much is. And if we're talking crimes, the fact that James Marsden isn't the top paid actor, A-list in everything, is a crime against me.
That's for sure.
He's so talented, so charming, and I think so nice.
I agree. I mean, have you met him?
No! Oh. Not during allergy seasons. I need to wait until... Shit. I have to wait until probably like September, October to meet him. Because I'm not going to be my best self. Because allergy season goes right into summer season, and I'm sweating. So
That's true.
I'll put like October on the calendar for me and James.
Okay. I will manifest that for you. Only at the right time, though.
Yes. Yes.
It's got to be during a Libra season.
Oh, true. Yes. Okay. Wait, for your birthday party. Just invite James and Marsden.
Casual. It's like how some people are like, oh, just send an invitation to like Bill Gates for your wedding. And maybe the assistant will automatically decline it and send a gift. That's what I'm going to do.
Now that... See, that's a positive scam.
It's a great scam, I think.
Yeah.
So let's just get into this week's current events roundup. There is quite a lot to talk about. So first, we're going to talk about our favorite scammer. That's not true. Who is your favorite scammer? I think I like the fake Saudi prince. He's hilarious.
Oh, he was very good. Oh, I don't know. Favorite scammer. That's a tricky one. I feel it always alternates. It depends on who captures and captivates the most at any given time.
That's very true.
Or so whatever scammer scam goddess is talking about this week.
Oh, my God.
Every week, so it's real. Always just my favorite episode. So.
There's always, like, a really good one unless they do something really horrible. And you're like, wait, no, this is supposed to be good-natured.
I know.
Some good-natured grifts. This one is not a good-natured grift. We're talking about Elizabeth Holmes, as per usual. So, number one, this is not really, like, relevant to her criminal doings. But I just thought it was funny. I saw this on the Daily Beast. They had this headline about how her daughter's name was like a tribute to her narcissism. So when you see that headline, what do you think the name is?
Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Elizabeth Jr.
Or Theranos, naming the kid that.
Yes. So I put this up on our Instagram story at Not Another True Crime. And you guys had some really good suggestions. Someone said... Therabeth, and I was like, why is that actually kind of a pretty name?
I was going to say, jotting that down, I kind of love it.
Right? Because Theranos was already a portmanteau, so then you just got to like, you know, combine it even further.
Sarah, I've had one cup of coffee so far. You can't just say portmanteau at me. Like, wait until noon, but go on. Go on with your grad degree.
Okay, so apparently the name that she did give her child is, drum roll, thank you, Invicta, after the Latin word for unconquered.
I mean, that's a stacked name to throw at a child.
I agree. I do feel like, you know, I mean, you could be called Vicky, I think. That actually works. I'm into that. But I'm like, yeah, just being called Invicta your whole life, like that's a serious,
and then it's like,
a weighty name.
Is it a family name? No, I think my mom did it ironically because she got the legal system conquered her.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's what the person in the Daily Beast kind of argued was how she tried to go to Mexico when she was awaiting sentencing and all this other stuff.
Sounds so sweet. I'd really like to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Just name your kid. You can't catch me.
That is, it's just like, oh, because that's, it's like, you're dropping so much on her at once for the second child. What's her first child's name? Do we know?
I don't even know.
It doesn't matter.
I feel like it's something probably bizarre.
Or it's like Invicta. She's like, no, that's.
It's Invictus, like, and Invicta.
She's like, why can everyone have the same last name? I'm giving my kids the same first names.
That's hilarious. So in more important news, she basically just keeps trying to avoid going to prison. And per the Associated Press, she filed yet another appeal. So her attorney filed an appeal of this decision that was issued earlier this month that required her to start her sentence on April 27th, which is the day we're recording this.
Okay, so far, well.
So she was supposed to be headed off to hang out with Jen Shah.
Not
today.
Quite now, though. Oh, also, I just need to add, her first child's name is William, so it does feel like this is, why are you going to do it like that?
Wow, that's interesting.
That's when you could just unpack family things, but go on yes. With the Jen Shah delayness.
Yes. So this appeal was filed with the Ninth Circuit of Appeals, so days, and it was filed on Tuesday. We're recording this on Thursday. So basically days before she was set to report to prison, they were like, nope, like uno reverse or something, or they tried it anyway. And because she filed this appeal, her start date is going to get pushed while it works its way.
She is very good at appeals.
She's very good at like delaying the inevitable, which I just think circles back to Theranos, how she kept like keeping investors on the hook even though the product didn't do anything.
And like, it's with this one, at least that one, you're like, okay, she's just like an evil businesswoman just trying to get more money each round. What is, like, she just wants to go to another brunch? Like, because like,
yeah, literally.
It will end, girl. Like, I don't know how many more tricks you have up your turtlenecks.
I know. I feel like it just looks really bad because it's like, yeah. Look, you lost. I don't even know. The thing is, I don't even know what ground she's trying to appeal on. Like, it just seems you're really throwing anything at the wall because you just don't want to have to, like, face the time for what you did.
That's what I really don't get at all.
Yeah, I mean, either. And apparently, by law, an appeal will basically stay the requirement to surrender, so kind of put it on hold, when the court hasn't ruled on a motion for her to remain free on bail. And Sonny Balwani did the same tactic, and he had his sentence start pushed out a month. So, yeah, it's like, what, you know, do you have Taylor Swift tickets? What are you?
Okay, you know what?
Your Honor.
Your Honor, I don't think we should wait. I think we should speak now. It's the era. And also, Renaissance Tour kicks off in, I think, like a week or so. So who knows? Maybe she had some Ticketmaster stuff.
Honestly, I could see that. Maybe she's involved in this Ticketmaster fiasco.
I would allow her to have a month longer appeal if there's a video of Elizabeth Holmes dancing to Heated by Beyonce. Because there's like line where she's like, cuff me, please, because this ain't fair. So I would, Elizabeth, if you're listening, that's how you could win this boy from New Jersey over.
I love that. You know what I want to see? I want to see a concert video of her singing along to Taylor Swift or Beyonce, because is she doing it in her fake baritone? Is she going to actually let the real voice fly?
You know what's good. Maybe she'll do it with herself. She could do I Got You, Babe, Sonny and Cher. They say they don't. I got you, babe.
My God. And I wonder if she's going to keep this up in prison, too. Like, I think the first thing we need to do is, like, interview her cellmate and be like, what does she sound like?
Literally, please.
If it were me, I would just be like, all right, the gloves are off. I don't fucking care. Like, it didn't work. I'm giving it up.
And also because that you just want to be like, girl, get in. So when you get out, you could get, like, because now you're just pushing back when you get out.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. And yeah, for Sonny, this worked for a whopping month because the Court of Appeals rejected his appeal 3 weeks after he filed. And he actually started serving his sentence a week ago on April 21st. So,
well.
You know, you can't put off the inevitable forever.
Not quite.
As a quick reminder, Elizabeth is sentenced to 11 years and 3 months after being found guilty on fraud charges. And we talked about this, I think, a week ago. She previously tried to remain free on bail while her case winds its way through appeals and the judge says no. So now it just looks like she filed another appeal and they're like, okay.
So many appeals.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a judge, but I feel like this doesn't make you look good.
No, I would say it does not at all.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
And in other true crime news, the Lori Vallow trial has been really kind of sweeping the media just because, like, the case did, and also just because this is now when we're getting a lot more information given to us too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the information is, of course, obviously really fucking sad and rough. So this is also a moment, like, if you guys are just here for the scams, skip over the next few little parts because this is, of course, a very intense one. But there was a bombshell testimony from a pathologist, and it was marks the first time prosecutors have revealed how her children were killed in 2019 before being buried in the backyard of her apocalyptic author husband.
Who is Chad Daybell, for Chad Daybell. Anyone who forgot.
Yes. So the testimony was made by Dr. Garth Warren, who works for the ADA or Ada County Coroner's Office. And he told jurors that he conducted the autopsies of the two kids, JJ and Ty Lee. And it happened a few days after they were found buried in Chad's backyard in June 2020. There are, of course, graphic details because this is a graphic case. Authorities say JJ was found in a pet cemetery and his cause of death was asphyxiation. I know, it's just so heartbreaking that, like, this is what, and, like, these are her kids. It just, yeah.
Yeah.
He was found with, like, a plastic bag over his head and it was tight and it showed signs of struggle too, because there are always those times where you wonder with that, but this is kind of really, I feel, encapsulates and showcases exactly who she is. So mm-hmm. I feel it's, of course, a very heartbreaking information that comes out, but it's very crucial information to come out because of, I feel, how a lot, I feel like even Sarah, we've been seeing clips of her trying to like talk about the love she has for her kids and stuff.
Oh yeah, fuck this woman. Like there was early in the trial, there was a day where they were shown just talking about very graphic things. I think it was maybe the autopsy photos or just something that was like really graphic. And Lori and her attorneys tried to get her excused from court so she didn't have to hear that testimony because she claimed it was too hard and emotional for her.
This has really just been an infuriating spectacle to watch her trying.
And the judge obviously was like, no, bitch. He didn't say bitch. That's what I said in my head.
Sarah added it, yes. Warren told jurors that right from the beginning, there were things that obviously jumped out in JJ's autopsy that he noted. And those were that he was wearing like a red pajama set when he was found. And there was like duct tape all around the body. So it was kind of that he was like a major struggle was shown through all of this. There were also low levels of ethanol, the date rape drug GHB in the system. There was like an inconclusive amount of that. So the direct quote from the pathologist was, there's really no way to tell for sure whether this is just a naturally occurring product in the body or that he was given GHB. I can't say one way or another based on the levels. I'm not like entirely sure in that regard, but that there was like ethanol and things in there as well would point to something. Mm-hmm. I feel from this, just my inference, would not be surprised if they used additional things, but he's not. I also feel like because there's so much actual legitimate proven things, it's not worth it. I feel like for a pathologist to like, also they probably like speculate on that one way or another.
Yeah,
and both extremely gruesome and rough. Tylee was found dismembered and buried in a fire pit nearby, and the pathologist even noted that when doing the autopsy for her, they had to bring in multiple bags because,
my God,
it's heartbreaking. And her death was ruled a homicide by unspecified means. Her toxicology report came back positive for ibuprofen, iron, and carboxymoglobin. And if that's breathed in when a person is alive, the readings will be high, but hers were extremely low. So that is just to, unfortunately, determine the time at which she was burned.
My God. But they concluded that she was probably not alive.
Not alive, yes.
Okay.
And just as like a whole for this, she's pled not guilty to several charges and faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. And all of this is, I mean, it's all infuriating and heartbreaking information to hear, but it's crucial for the justice element of it because her defense attorneys are insisting that she's a loving mother who could never do this. But right. I mean, here we are.
I mean, they have to say that, but...
Exactly, yeah, but yeah.
It's just, it'll be interesting to hear what her defense is if it's just, oh, Chad did it, you know?
Exactly.
Maybe that's what she's going for because there's no question that her kids were murdered. So.
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to do like a passing the, or like.
Yeah, we don't really know yet, I feel. But horrifying, it's awful. So, and this is continuing to make its way through the court and we'll keep you all updated on what's going on. And now we are going to transition to a viral clip that you have probably seen on Twitter depicting a man who may or may not be, but probably is, Nicholas Alaverdian. So he is a suspected American fugitive who allegedly faked his own death. However, he actually insists he's an Irish orphan.
So many layers.
And this is giving Natalia Grace. So much.
Very, very much. And Sarah, I don't know if you were the same. When I first saw people quote tweeting this video so much before I watched it, I was like, why the fuck are people, what's going on here? And when I watched it, I was like, oh, I still don't know what's going on here, but I need more information. And it's hard because if you Google Nicholas's name, I think 75 other names come up.
Yeah. Because the man has an alias or two.
Or eight, yes.
Or eight. It's confusing.
And we'll explain to you why he has so many aliases.
Yeah. So a man believed to be Nicholas Elverdian, who is a U.S. citizen who, like I said, allegedly faked his own death to escape rape allegations, insists that he's actually an Irish-born orphan named Arthur Knight. And he did this interview in Scotland that has just gone totally viral.
There are so many countries involved.
It's confusing. So the interview was on Dateline on April 21st because they were doing an episode about his crimes. And
his crimes.
Yes.
As he's saying.
they were doing an episode about Nicholas Elverdian's crimes, let's say that much. So he was charged in connection with a 2008 rape in Utah. And officials say Elverdian, who, here we go, here are the aliases. He also goes by Nicholas Rossi. He has spent more than a year fighting extradition to the U.S. from Scotland after he was arrested on rape charges in December 2021 at a Glasgow hospital where he was being treated for COVID-19. And authorities were able to identify him through fingerprints and tattoos.
Two pretty big giveaways. I mean, tattoos, I would say, like, those are pretty always spot on. Fingerprints,
I know.
They famously don't lie.
No. So, but this man is just trying to pull the Shaggy to the extreme. He listened to that song one too many times.
It's his most played on Spotify.
And he's just like, that wasn't me. He's like, that's not me. I'm an Irish orphan. I am but an Irish orphan named Arthur Knight. I can't do an Irish accent. I'm sorry, you guys.
Irish is back of the throat, I think.
Yeah.
But I have, my back of the throat is mucus, so I can't do that.
Yeah. And he claims he's never even been to the U.S. As far as the fingerprints, he claims that it's part of a giant frame-up and that officials, like, took his hand and tattooed the wrong fingerprints on it.
They just forced him to have tattoos?
It makes it doesn't make sense. It's like, it reminds me of that episode of SVU where William Lewis, like, burns off his fingerprints.
Yes.
But that actually worked. No one's like, you can't tattoo a fingerprint. Like, it's a texture. No. Like, what are you talking about?
Literally.
So here's what he says. It's this ridiculous interview, and you should all watch it because he has this oxygen mask. He also claims to be disabled. So he has this oxygen mask on, but it's clearly not put on right because it, like, his glasses keep fogging up, apparently. Yes. And so he says in this interview, because he has a wife, he says in this interview, we were once a normal family, but thanks to the media, our lives have been interrupted. And we'd like privacy, and I would like to go back to being a normal husband, but I can't because I can't breathe, I can't walk. People say that's an act. Let me try and stand up. And then you all have to watch this for yourself because he basically just, he tries to prove that he's not faking his disability by, like, dramatically attempting to stand up and then, like, flailing. And then he gets caught by his wife. But he doesn't even, I don't think he really flails.
I don't really see major flails. And I do like where he was just like, because it's a thing where he's like, I just want to go back to being a normal husband. But the media, but also my disease. So it's like, what are you mad about in this clip? Because that's what he's like, I can't breathe, I can't walk. But that's not the media doing. Like, so that was interesting that he brought that up. And then me and Rebecca, before you logged out, we were laughing that at the end, he goes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like, exactly what? Like, what are you doing?
He's like, that's a mic drop in my biz. In Scotland, Ireland. Yeah.
And we're like, I don't know, man. I think you're still holding it.
I think the microphone's right up there. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just truly bizarre, and you all have to watch it. It's just, I don't even know what to say about it. And he just, it's like, it's the most silly, dramatic flail. I don't even know what to say.
For someone who has a lot of heinous crimes being accused against him.
Yeah. And when he was asked if he was lying about his current identity, he exclaims, I am not Nicholas Elverdian. I do not know how to make this clearer.
Take a DNA test.
I mean, we have the fingerprints. I'm like, what do we really need? Because then you can just, if you're going to claim the fingerprints were falsely tattooed on your fingers, then you're going to claim the DNA test is That's fake true. And like whoever was paid off. It's a little ridiculous.
And it's like, how many aliases does he have at Costco for those free samples? You know what we should do?
What?
Have him win the lottery. Oh. And be like, it's for Nicholas Zaliverdi. And I don't know. Does anybody know where he is? He'd be like, that's actually me.
That's a good, You know what I mean? Yes.
Reed always wins.
That's true. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Like, if you go to the lengths to fake your own death to avoid criminal prosecution, why would you go somewhere with an extradition treaty with the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
There's also more because on top of the pending rape charge in Utah, authorities in Rhode Island have said he's also wanted there for failing to register as a sex offender.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he faces fraud charges in Ohio where he was convicted of sex-related charges in 2008.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So this man is allegedly committing crimes all over the map, and that is not good. And Aliverdian, whoever he is, was born in Rhode Island and after a tumultuous childhood became an outspoken critic of Rhode Island's Department of Children, Youth, and Families, according to the Providence Journal. And he testified before state lawmakers about being sexually abused and tortured while in foster care. Then in 2020, he told local media that he had late stage non-Hodgkin lymphoma and had weeks to live. And an obituary published online said that he died on February 29th, 2020.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a ghost.
He wasn't. Because by last year, Rhode Island State Police, Aliverdian's former lawyer, and his former foster family were publicly doubting whether he actually died. And he basically got COVID in Scotland and went to the hospital. And they were like,
suspicious.
Yes. And so since his arrest in Scotland, the man in the video clip has made several court appearances and fired at least six lawyers.
Well, that's a good sign always, I usually feel.
Yeah. All while insisting he isn't Nicholas Aliverdian or Nicholas Rossi. And he is, he says, Arthur Knight.
Okay.
Okay. Who knows? That's all I can say is okay, man.
Or AK, his initials.
Yeah.
And the final current event. There's not much to this, but just because we discussed her a lot, just to kind of let you know that we potentially might be discussing her in a very, for a very different reason. The girl who was pretending to be Madeline McCann, Julia Wendell, or she also goes by Julia Faustina. So remember how she was like not pretending, but really thought she was maybe Madeline McCann kind of thing? Sergeant Mike Woodroof of the Orange County Sheriff's Department confirmed that a cell phone tied to her case was recently recovered, and it is been revealed through a private investigator and psychic medium.
Oh, I don't know about this.
I know. So this person brought Wendell to the U.S.
Yes, okay.
And handed over the phone to the California police after filing a report alleging a phone Wendell had left behind with her in California after the DNA test appeared to contain explicit images of children. This doctor, Johannesson, told The Sun, police are taking this very seriously and have assured me that a full investigation will be done. Wendell denied these claims and said she already spoke to police in Poland about this. So we don't really know what is what with this, but we were seeing this circulating online. So we're just leaving you guys know. We don't know the validity of it. But so just to let you guys know.
Well, yeah, because I don't know. I think Julia is having a public feud with this psychic detective. So I'm not really sure what to believe.
I know. When the person who wasn't Madame McCann is feuding with a psychic detective.
Yeah.
You kind of just go, y'all figure this out and get back to us.
Yeah. Because also I saw that she released like a 17-page apology.
Oh, wow.
But even in the apology, she was like, I never said that I was Madeline McCann. And we're like, girl, your Instagram handle was I am Madeline McCann.
Yeah, like she went on TV shows about it too.
She's like, oh, I just made a mistake. I should have made the handle like, am I Madeline McCann, not I am. And it's like, but you really thought you were her. Like, There's no way around that. I don't think.
Like, literally.
And also the McCanns have never publicly commented, for what it's worth.
Good for them. They don't.
As they shouldn't. So that's what's going on in the world of true crime.
Yes, we'll see if any of these warrant full episodes down the line, but we'll just keep you guys in the loop for some trending ones. And we'll be back next week with a regular episode.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.